The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
The fact that, and I'll start with it today again. The fact that God, Satan, and your environment, they all send thoughts to your heart. And we were answering the question last week, how am I going to be able to know who is doing the thinking in my head? Hallelujah. How am I going to be able to know who is sending? Because I said most of the things people are thinking, most of the people are thinking, they do not realize that it's not really their thoughts. So we're asking the question, who is thinking in your head? So most times people are just thinking, you say, I was just thinking. Most of those I is not really you doing the thinking. Something or someone has sent a line of thought in your heart, and then you begin to, it comes to you in the first person pronoun, where you say, I. And so one of the scriptures that helped us last week is the fact that the Bible tells us that the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts of the heart of man. It discerns the heart. And so by looking at the word, or rather exposing your mind to the word of God, you will be able to know whether this very thought that is flying into your head now, whether it's actually your thoughts. And when I explained last week that when we say your thoughts, I'm referring to the real you. That's your spirit man, okay? So I'm referring to God's thoughts. Do you remember that? And so when we're talking about your thoughts, question is, who is doing the thinking? So you can expose your mind to the word of God. For instance, one of the things we said strongly last week is that fear is not of God. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. So whenever you sense fear in your heart, thoughts of fear can never be of God. Never. No matter how sincere or how genuine that fear is. And so when you say, I feel afraid. I told you one thing last week. The reborn spirit can never be afraid. It has never been afraid. You say why? God has not given us that spirit. And so if God did not give it to me, I don't have it. Are you here? So look at things like fear, things like worry. Something I didn't touch last week, things like guilt. Whenever you feel guilt in your heart, you should know it can never be God. Never. You say, but sometimes if guilt is justified, just thinking, I think I'm just a mess. I just messed up. No matter what you did, the feeling or the thought of guilt has never and can never be from God. And it's not from you. It's actually from Satan. Or rather from your environment. Because these things, they now depress you and keep you down. And it can never be God. And so one of the things I said last week, I said, you begin to ask yourself, the thoughts I'm accommodating in my heart, are they really my thoughts? Or is Satan thinking in my head? I get him this evening. The thoughts I'm accommodating in my head, are they really my thoughts? Or is Satan thinking in my head? A lot of things can send a lot of crazy thoughts into your head. Your experience is can. Your childhood experience is can. What people say can. Okay? The devil can. Your dreams can. Different things. But you see, whether those thoughts remain there or not, is your making. Are you following me at all? It's your making. So whether you think those thoughts that you're making. And so we're looking at, so it's important you win the battle of your mind. To win the battle of your mind. So I say, Satan, God, your environment, they throw thoughts at you. This is why you must guard your mind. Let me show you a scripture. In Matthew 15 verse 19. In Matthew 15 verse 19. Let's look at this. He said, Matthew, okay, 15:19. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, for adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. In our next verse, he said, these are the things which defile a man. So he tells you that actually what you call sin, he was listening to sin here. He said they come from the heart. And so before someone actually commits sin in the physical, he must have been conquered in his heart. Come on, are you getting me at all? He said, out of the heart. So these are the things which defile a man. Now, put up another translation of this. Maybe NLT or anything. And I say, from the heart come evil thoughts. He said, from the heart. Okay, another translation. There's just any other one, amplified. And I said, for out of the heart. Okay, any other one? For out of the heart. He said, look, amplified. He said, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, reasonings, and disputings, and designs, such as murder. So, all this murder, sexual vice, and whatever, they come from the heart. Your heart has to first of all be conquered before you begin to live in a particular thing, before you begin to have a particular lifestyle. What people call addiction is because something has conquered your heart. Are you getting my talk? And when the heart conquered the heart, that becomes a norm. So that's why sometimes people go for deliverance to come out from addiction, terribly enough. People do that. But then, actually, the real deliverance should have been mental programming. I didn't get the point. It should have been mental. They should have reprogrammed them by exposing those minds to something different. Because the thing came from here. I'll give an example. There are five gates. The gates to the mind are your five senses, you know, right? You cannot, for instance, become addicted to smoking if you have not seen people smoke. I didn't get the point. You should have seen it and seen it and seen it enough. And as you are seeing it and exposing yourself to that environment, maybe I'll touch this next week. That's why your environment really matters. Where you are per time, what you expose your mind to really matters. You see it over time and they talk to you about it. Then you test it the first day, then you take it back. Gradually, it forms. It did not just happen. That way people say, well, how did you sleep with that guy? I said, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it. Actually, you know how it happened. How it happened is that a very long time before that day, you've been exposing your mind. You know, I used to teach this whenever I talk about masturbation, for instance. There's been this argument as whether masturbation is a sin or not. I'm not here for the argument. In a sense, they have a point, okay? You get the point? They have a point. It's a sin and all. But look at this. I normally say, if you want to bring down, this is not my teaching, I don't know, I'm digressing. If you don't want to bring down this wall, if you followed me long enough, you must have heard this illustration from me many times. You don't want to bring down this wall. That's not your intention. But then every day, you come with a hammer and then playfully hit this wall two times and you go. The next day, playfully, you realize that when you keep doing that playfully, you do it consistently for 1 year, 2 years, every day you are hitting that wall. One of these days, you just come to hit it as usual. It will collapse. You get the point? Then it will now be, I don't know how it happened. Actually, you know how it happened. That's what happens to your mind. You keep exposing your mind to these things. You are weakening the defenses of your heart. I didn't get the point. That's what masturbation does. That's what pornography does. I didn't get the point. It's not a question of the Bible says, you know, continue. You say, I watch, nothing happens to me. Don't worry. One thing about the heart is that once you sow something there, it will germinate. Don't worry. It will. One day. It will. Out of the heart will come these things. And so you find out that if you really want to win, for instance, you must start from conquering or stand by conquering your mind. Okay? Taking over. So the issue about mounting God over your mind is a serious thing. So Satan will be sending thoughts. God will. Environment will. However, okay, let me slow down to say this. However, you must realize that even though all these people send thoughts to your heart, not all of them really know your thoughts. Not all of them. Okay? For instance, God knows your thoughts. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible tells us that God saw the heart of man. God knows your thoughts. Genesis 6, verse 5 said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. So God at least saw the imagination of the heart of man. In Psalm 94, for instance, and verse 11, you see the psalmist declared the same thing. The fact that God can actually look into the heart and thoughts of man. He said, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Okay, John 9 verse 4 tells us that Jesus saw some people and he knew their thoughts. So God can know your thoughts, or God really knows your thoughts. Okay, is it John 9 verse 4? Okay, that's a mistake. But then Jesus saw the thoughts of man and he was able to discern their thoughts. And so, So God knows your thoughts, basically. And then men may not know your thoughts because they don't see it, but men can. They can. One of the ways men can know your thoughts, for instance, is by your words. In Matthew 12, verse 34. In Matthew 12, verse 34. Let's see. Matthew 12, 34. It says, when Jesus saw that Matthew, not Mark. Matthew 12, 34. Shamalekora basonia. He said that, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? So out of the abundance of the heart, what? So men that are very careful can actually observe what you say and know what you are thinking. Hallelujah. Men can look at what you say. That's why I normally tell people, it's not hard to know whether you have a bad friend or not. You can simply observe what they say. Sometimes what they say, without thinking about it, most times it describes the state of their heart. Are you getting the point? That's the truth. Most times what they say, sometimes what they say angrily. No, sometimes anger reveals what people really have in mind. Sometimes. You know, when you see, that's why I said you must conquer your heart. For instance, some people start overtaking with bitterness. Sometimes not what you did to them, but what has happened to them all their life. So, this girl is overtaken with bitterness naturally, but she's smiling. When one issue arises, she'll be so angry and so bitter, be wondering, is it not this small thing? I don't get the point. Now, the problem is not that you've done something so big. Bitterness has conquered the heart. That's why anytime that anything happens in that direction, it picks the signal. I normally give this illustration. If this is a remote control for maybe a decoder, maybe DSTV or TSTV, anyone, and then you are using this decoder on a television, it's not going to work. This remote control, rather. It's not going to work, right? Now, it's not because the remote control is bad. It's because there's nothing that is in that TV that will attract you to this. Let me use that word. You get the point? Now, that same way, what people do to you, how you respond to it is a product of what is already in your heart already. Do you know what I said now? That's why the same thing can happen to two people. They will react differently to it. What, two people, their hearts will be broken. One will go down. The other one will rise up after 2 days. It's not because you don't know what he did to me. No, we know. You were already a bitter, hot. Sometimes people already having low self-esteem. They're already feeling not good enough. So when the girl now says she's no more doing, he say, "Wow, I always knew I was a failure." You know, the girl didn't say you were a failure. She didn't. So from the heart, the mouth. So you can look at somebody's words. For instance, you can look at someone's actions. In Luke 6 verse 45, Jesus discussed this too. He said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So when people are acting, most times they are revealing their hearts. And I'm saying this because where you find yourself, and I was trying to talk about man, you can know your heart by your action, but I just want to say, I sense strongly to say this. When you find yourself saying some things where you did not plan to say them, you're already beginning to say, this is the first day, you're already beginning to see what actually has conquered your heart. I didn't get the point. This is supposed to be a joke, but you can take it seriously. It's not a joke. It happens to everybody. You know, when you are young, they can be waking you up and you're talking nonsense. But do you realize it's not actually nonsense you are saying? Most times you are saying what has happened in your day. You wake a guy up saying, "Pass your ball, pass your ball." That's what he or she did the whole day. So even in that unconscious state, he is giving out what has conquered his heart. You get the point? Do you know you can pray so much that when they wake you up, you mistakenly start praying in tongues? I'm telling you, it's not because you are forming it. Some people form it, but it's not forming. Sometimes when something has conquered your heart, you know, Brother Copeland was telling a story. He said the one in their house, like, you know that house. He said their grandson used to believe that their house is the household of faith. Like literally says, I live in the household of faith. It's not scriptural. He's talking about it because he said the only thing he gets in his house is faith. And the guy, the kind of terms, this guy, I'm a small boy, uses to describe things. You find out this is what he has been exposed to. They went to a toilet. The toilet was so bad. He said that toilet stinks like the curse of the law. And that's what he's been hearing all the while. He says stinks like the curse of the law. And why would that be the natural thing that would just come out from? That's what he has been hearing all the while. I didn't get the point. And so what I'm trying to say is, you can tell people's thoughts through their action. So men can actually discern your thoughts by your action. You can also begin to use this to judge what has conquered your heart. You know, some of us are so, I don't know why God will make me talk in this direction this evening. If I don't finish, I'll just continue next week. Some of us are so attached and open to the world. And that's why you find out that every new slang that comes out, you'll be the first to use it. Every new slang. Mado came out. It was just in your mouth. Mado. What? Why would that be what will conquer? No, why? No, it's not a sin. It's not a sin. You're not going to hell. But why is it that what's a mado? It tells you the things you've been listening to, the things you're exposing yourself to. You've not sinned. Now, where mado go? What's the next one now? Every small thing can just overtake you. You know what I'm trying to say is, you can begin to judge, okay, what has conquered man. I can know what has conquered people's hearts. There are some people, their relationships are having issues today, and that's not because the man is bad or they are bad. It's because something has taken over their heart. Sometimes some of them are bitter, hurting from that previous relationship. They think they've healed. But then when something just happens, it will awaken that thing. It's there. Just like when there is a wound that has been is covered a little, but the wound is still there. Any moment that touches to just open it, it will start bleeding again. I don't get the point. Because the thing is there. So any you now hear things like, me, you wicked person. Now what brought about some of those things? You want to use me and dump me, Abby? You want to use me and dump me? You see, like, no man can match on my head. No, who said all those things? Who? Nobody talked about matching your head. Nobody mentioned that. And nobody said, no man, you can't do that with me. See, go to my house. Ask. Yeah, why are we going to your village now? What is happening? You find out some things have been there. So any small thing you do, we awaken it. Out of the borders of the heart, things will begin to flow. Now I'm talking about bitterness and all that, but it's just everywhere. And so by looking at people's words and their thoughts, you can actually discern what has taken over their heart. You can do that for yourself too. Are you still here? Of course, another way men can know your thoughts, for instance, is by the Spirit. Okay? By the gift of the Spirit, people can supernaturally know your thoughts. Jesus did that in Luke 5, verse 22. As soon as I preach on stage, it happens always all the time. Over every time I preach on stage and I hear people's thoughts. You know? And that's what sometimes prompts some of my digressions. When I digress and say something, a lady met me after the meeting and said, immediately I was thinking about it. You are saying it immediately. Because you can, so by the Spirit, you can actually know. Bible said, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what is in your heart? So this is a gift of the Spirit here. You can perceive people's thoughts. But apart from this, and I told you, there's no other way man can know your thoughts. Because we don't see it. So your words will reveal the intents of your heart. So you can begin to study your heart to see what, for instance, has conquered your heart. To see if they agree with the word of God. Now, let's talk about Satan, for instance. Satan doesn't know your thoughts. That's the truth. Satan does not know your thoughts. What he will do is to throw thoughts there. For instance, I showed it last week in John 13, verse 26. He sent, Bible says, Satan entered Judas. Now, that didn't mean he was possessed. But Satan entered him, and next thing he did was go kill Jesus. He said, Jesus answered, he it is to him I shall give a sop. When I have dipped it, when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, and son of Simon. In verse 27, the Bible said, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. So suddenly that thought came. So how did Satan enter him? It was a suggestion into his heart. You can actually kill this man and make profit. Think about it. If you betray him, they don't know who he is. They're looking for him. So you betray him. You know this guy is powerful. So there is no way he will allow them kill him. So it's a win-win situation for you. You collect your 30 pieces of silver. He will finally escape. And then you win. And he felt good idea. That was why when they arrested Jesus and they finally killed him, he felt so guilty. You get the point? That wasn't his plan. He wanted just to play a game. So he just collect the money, save Jesus. And I know Jesus, I'll come back, I'll apologize. He will accept me back. So I'm rich, I won, and then everything. And it's even an opportunity for Jesus to demonstrate his power self. But you know why I'm going this way? Because Satan can convince you. Have you ever been in your bed, on your bed, and Satan is talking, trying to convince you to make you see the good in what you know is bad? It happens. But think about it. Let's be practical. It's not as though this will happen. If this goes, he's a woman. Okay, he even told that if you go there, that the guy is going to sleep with you. He might not sleep with you. He might just give you money and just go. Who knows? Don't judge men like that. So just go there, pass the night, wear trousers. Wear trousers, don't wear skirt. See, it's Satan. So he was just suggesting things. I say, well, it's not really that bad. What's this, sir? After everything, I collect the money. I even have commitment to pay, sir. My partnership. He's trying to make what is obviously bad appear so good. So he comes to you by suggestions. He must be smart. So, but he doesn't know your thoughts. So he throws those thoughts at you. Now, the only way he can know whether you are thinking them, for instance, is by your words. Satan can't read your heart. He listens to your words. If I let me even take it a step further. Even if he reads your heart, he can't act on your thoughts. Even angels don't act on our thoughts. Angels act on our words. You know, right? That's why I'm going to take a short time before we close to talk to you about your words. Because at the end of the day, you can feel fear. It just comes. One of the ways to make that fear you are feeling remain is to give it a voice. Say it. When you begin to say it, you are giving Satan something to act on. So this your words will give Satan something to act on. This is why you don't speak fear. This is why you can feel fear, but you don't say it. I didn't get the point. You don't say it. You know, in Proverbs 21, verse 23, that very popular scripture. You find out those thoughts you feel, of course, I've said those thoughts are not true. Look at Proverbs 21. It says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. So if you learn to watch what you say, you will save yourself a lot of troubles. Do you realize? What you don't realize is that most times when people flow in the power of God, they actually have a little of doubt in them before they did it. I don't know if you know this. If ever heal the sick, you will know. The only thing is that you give voice to say, I'm just so scared. I just don't think I can do it. And when you're talking like that, those thoughts that are just flashing in your heart, you are giving them life. How's it come that surely? You're giving Satan what to act on. You know, one of the things I keep telling you is that not everything in your heart is true. You know, right? Let me show you scripture. 1 John 3 verse 19. I'm going back to that statement again. 1 John 3 verse 19. Not everything in your heart is true. He said, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. I like this place. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Okay? Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence for God. So notice he said your heart can be condemning you actually. You can have thoughts of condemnation. He said, but remember that God is greater. So when you set condemnation in your heart, that condemnation is a lie. Right? But then, so because you know it is not true, you don't voice it. When you start saying it, You are giving Satan something he's going to act on. Something he's actually going to act on. So it's not everything you say. You don't speak worry. Everything I mentioned last week and more. You don't speak guilt. You don't speak worry. It's, I just don't know what to do. You don't speak confusion. I normally tell you guys, one of the is a criminal statement for a believer to say, I'm confused. It's criminal. So I'm just so confused. You are so confused. Bible said, if you follow me, you will never walk in darkness. And you are following the light of life. And say, I'm confused. It's terrible. You don't say that. So I'm just so confused. You don't realize confusion is a thought sent to you by the devil. And then you are saying it. It's going to act on it. I'll see touches. One of the things I learned from my spiritual father, for instance. If you come to him, you had a very bad dream. He wouldn't let you tell him the dream. You get the point? All this, and in my dream, the man was now slapping me, and I now failed the exam. You say, don't say it. You had a bad dream, I'm going to pray against it. And if you insist, if you feel there are details that he needs to hear, he will tell you to write it. That's my pastor for you. You say, write it. You say, don't voice it. So don't say it. I didn't get the point. You know what I'm saying? In that dream, hi. I can now crash. What are you saying? What are you saying? You don't realize that those thoughts are not actually, nothing has happened when you're having those thoughts. I said last week, those thoughts, things like fear, Satan is seeking your permission to do what he wants to do. He sends fear of death. All he's saying is, I want to bring death. Okay? You're not giving a voice. You say, well, hi, man, Jesus, somebody's going to die here. And then, so you don't, you know, when you say those things, you are giving certain some action. One of the things I'm really saying is that your words will give life to your thoughts. So one of the ways, one of the easiest ways you can silence thoughts is by not saying them. I didn't get the point. If I, okay, let me take the step further. One of the ways you can silence thoughts is to repel the thoughts by your words. I've said this over time in this church. You don't fight thoughts with thoughts. The only way you can fight thoughts is with words. When Satan sends a thought, you send your voice. You didn't hear me? When he sends a thought, you send your voice. He said, what if just rebel those thoughts with your words? In Proverbs 18, verse 20, King Solomon, in that book, he said, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And so what you have in your life is what you are saying with your mouth. So can Satan send thoughts to you? Yes. Must you say them? You shouldn't. Verse 21 now says, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say, they that love it shall eat the future. So actually death and life is here. So when thoughts of death come, and you really want it to happen, say it. I didn't get the point. I'm just so confused. My life is just a mess. Well, God, well, this is even an example. And I'm not even comfortable giving the example. Get the point? That things you don't say. You know, you should grow a home, for instance, where there are words that are an abomination in the home. So what should be an abomination in your home? Because once you are giving life to your thoughts, so you rebel those thoughts with your words. You rebel. You know what Goliath did to David was a mind game. It was a mind game. And that story illustrates carefully what Satan does. How was Goliath able to silence the entire Israel? He was saying something. He said, if you are strong enough, come out. They were listening to it. I didn't get the point. They were listening to it. He was talking. And that's how Satan behaves. He said, come out and I will tear you apart. I will waste you. You cannot, you know, he's just talking. He's just talking. All of them will hear it. And mighty warriors in Israel, none of them could act. That's the game of the devil. Now, you might not be hearing it physically. You might also be hearing it physically. He wants to bring you down. He wants to bring sickness into your home. He will lead you to a website
you'll be reading everything about that sickness, about that, about this, about that, and you're watching the TV. That's why I don't believe any serious believer should watch the news a lot. Do you understand? Did you get what I said? You don't watch the news a lot. Of course, you should check what is happening to just be updated with current world trends. But if you stay on the news 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you are just on the news. Congratulations. You are feeding, and you know things settle in your heart without your permission. They don't. So Goliath kept doing that. He kept doing that. Now when David came, immediately he began to talk. David began to talk back to him. David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You don't think it's your heart. You say it." He said, "The Lord will deliver you to my hands." I'm sure fear entered Goliath too. Get the point? This woman is talking to you. He said, "The Lord God, who will have divided his army, he will give you to my hands." Fear entered the young man. And the guy was saying it. No, let me say this to you. Once you don't know about the miraculous and playing the power of God, you think the guy was not scared? This is a giant talking to you, but you don't voice your fear. Get the point? You don't voice your fear. See a giant standing there, he would have been saying, in my mind, you should be talking now. After everything, we'll now see who will win the fight. You don't say it in your mind. You talk back, say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" He was turning towards the guy. And Goliath was, "What is happening?" I see the game of Satan. He said, "Am I a dog?" Goliath said, "Am I a dog that you send this? Am I a dog?" Well, you said so. Nobody called you a dog. But then it was a mind game. They were talking to themselves. You see, one of the greatest things that can happen to you is to come where you should use your tongue and you're quiet. Wait, the actual place you should talk. When you should talk is when you are in your room and thoughts of defeat has overwhelmed you. That's not when to cry. That is when to talk. That's when to talk. That sense of nothingness, when that thought overwhelms you, that's when to lift your voice and begin to talk. You repel those thoughts by your words. Not than to stay in there and just be thinking and say, tch. And that's why I said there are some kind of friends you need in your life who will not always understand you. You know, some people think he's a good friend, he always understands me. Some people that understand you are killing you. I don't understand. Say, "I'm just so depressed." I understand. See, let me tell you, when I understand the first day, some that are very close to me, we know. I know that's why sometimes I used to wonder whether I can actually be very romantic. And others will say, "Be romantic." Because one day I will understand, the second day, I will remind you that you don't talk like that. Why is it like, come on, get up from that place? And you rebel those thoughts because. One of these, and when I say this, don't think I'm just hearing him saying, "I cannot be sick in Jesus' name." Sometimes, learn how to shout. Have you noticed that, you know, somebody, I think it was Brahman that I was talking about this. Sometimes when you come to your place of prayer, you're trying to pray, and thoughts are rushing through your head. Does it happen to you? Distracting thoughts. Have you ever started shouting in the place of prayer? Those thoughts will go. You know what, you are shouting down your mind. Shutting it down. There are things you don't let in. So when that thought of depression comes, they say, "I'm just saying, it's not working. You cannot be depressed. I have the Holy Ghost." Who taught you? Who is your pastor? That's not how you talk. You stand in your room and begin to shout, "I have the joy of the Holy Ghost." You begin to say it. Now it's looking fake. Just be saying it. It will conquer. You know the beautiful thing about talking? The beautiful thing about talking is that your tongue also feeds your heart. Because when you are talking, you are hearing what you are saying. Do you get the point? Because the gate to your mind is. So when you're talking, you're hearing yourself. So when there is nothing around you to speak any positivity to you, speak it to yourself. "I can never be broke in my life. Nothing ever goes wrong in this place. I can never be sick. This will work out. Hey, this will work out. This. It will. Nothing dies in my hands." Because when you are talking, you're hearing what you are saying. And so whenever Satan sends thoughts towards you, you don't think the thoughts.
You say the opposite of what you are feeling. Why? I showed you last week. Your feeling is a lie. You know why I said that? Most of your feelings are not true. Are not true. Most of your thoughts are satanic thoughts he has sent to your heart. And you are thinking it. You are saying it. Say everything has just been, my life has just been going on and on and on. And well, God is helping us, Sha. You see what you're doing? You're already talking like a defeated person. You're trying, Sha, but you know easy. That's why every dress, it has that trends that come out. That is like this life just a pot of beans. You started saying it too. This life no balance. You started saying it too. How can life balance again? Well, you've used your mouth to unbalance it. What I'm saying is, you repel your. I'm not saying you don't feel that way. You get the point? But your feeling is a lie. Hey, let that set to your head. Most of your feelings are lies. So I just feel so scared. You are right. It's a feeling. It's not true. But we have boldness in Christ. We have victory in Christ. Even when it's not looking it, you just be saying it. And I'm not saying this for me to finish talking and then you say, I'm going to confess. No. That's why you should have a daily routine of confessing the word. It's not what I'm just finishing. That's it. Because when you keep saying it, you are feeding your heart. Gradually, you will sense that the word, that's your first. You know, sometimes when you are growing up, grew up in Nigeria, your first response to a shock is either mommy mo or chineke me, Jesus, brother Jesus. You know, you should train your heart to a point that when something shocks you, the first thing that comes out should be nothing can go wrong. I'm not telling you, when something shocks you, just say shepele kobarat, not because you are forming or you are acting up, but that's just your response language. That's a response language. You know, and I'm talking to people, something happens, first thing that comes in, can make up, what's good about your life? That's the first thing. Can make one. What is in Kemeko? Do what it means in Osaka. My own has finished in Kemeko. And you just say, well, that's just, it was just shock. I was just shocked. I understand. It's not a big deal. But just don't try it. Just be training your heart. It will get to a time. Your first response will be faith. It will not be fear. It will not be fear. It will not be fear. Feed your heart. Let me just show one or two scriptures and we'll close. You must learn to talk. And in talking, you talk to your heart. You know, I learned this from reading Psalms. The psalmist always speaks to his soul or speaking to his heart. For instance, in Psalm 42 verse 11, learn to talk to your soul. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hey, he's talking to his heart himself. One of the best things to do is to learn to talk to yourself. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. This guy is talking to himself. Just look at this. You just enter my room and you see, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? Say, hope in God. Wait, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. He said, well, already I hope in God. No, say it. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Probably like NLT. An NLT or something. He said, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? He was talking. I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. Put up amplified. Say, my Savior, my God, why are you cast down, all my inner self? So you should learn to address your inner self. Hallelujah. Why should you mourn or mourn over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait. So he's teaching his soul. He says, see, what do you do? You hope in God. You hope in God. For I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. In Psalm 43 verse 5, for instance. Psalm 43 verse 5. Shamane no no musiala gabrate kush. Kabashatia kalabara. 45. He said, why art thou cast down all my soul? That's what we read, right? Same thing, right? Why art thou this? So it's not what you say once. There are things you say to your heart over and over and over again. And over again. And over again. If you still get to Psalm 42 verse 5, he still said the same thing. Why art thou cast down my soul? Same thing. Why now? Because every time he's asking, so why are you down? You should hope in God. He said, well, doesn't my heart know? Sometimes it doesn't know. You have to educate your heart. Let me say this to you: when you are not talking to yourself, many things are talking to you. Whether I like it or not, the environment is talking to you, the TV is talking to you, the billboard is talking to you. Things happening, your experiences are talking, your past is talking to you. If you don't begin to instruct your soul and tell your soul what to think and what to think. How to think, everything can just talk to you. And before you know, you are shocked to your own self. Have you ever woken up one day? When did I become like this? When did I become this bitter? When did I become this afraid? Most of you grew up with so much confidence about the future. When the last couple of months, it's just like when you remember the future, you're just so scared. You were careless with your heart, and everything entered. Now, when you hear the future, you're just like, what if you don't make up? See what is happening? You've exposed your heart. You are careless. You didn't tell your soul what to think. Psalm 62 verse 5. Let's just look at that again. Talk to your soul. Talk to your soul. Talk to your heart. Psalm 62 verse 5. Go back to King James. Psalm 62 verse 5. He said, my soul. He was talking to his soul. Wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. Tell your soul that. Tell your heart. So when there are tough times and you are beginning to sense thoughts of compromise, you lift your voice in the bed and say, my soul, my heart, wait on God. He is your expectation. You are not going to compromise. You are not going to give in. We are going to wait on God and he will deliver, because he always does. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Doctors, I could show you a lot of scriptures, but let me just show one last one and we close. Do you realize that Psalm 103 from verse 1 is everything? The Psalm, everything is written in Psalm 103. Was not somebody praising God, it was somebody talking to himself. Look at it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's talking to himself. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not. He wasn't talking to you, he was talking to himself. There are times when your heart can forget. And he now began to list in verse 3. He said, forget not. He said, who forgives all thy iniquities? He's talking himself. So it's just like you bring out your soul or your heart like a separate entity. Imagine you sitting down here and you're saying, my soul bless the Lord. He forgives all our sins. He heals all my diseases. He takes care of me. You are talking to yourself. It's not the devil you're addressing this time. You're addressing yourself. You're winning the battle. Who redeemed my life from destruction? Hey, recently I was doing something and thoughts came. We fed out the word of God. Thoughts came. Different. What if this happens? Some dangers that were possibly going to happen, that wanted to happen. And the next that came out from my mouth is, angels are working for me. It just dropped. I just laughed. No matter in my mouth, I just said, angels are working for me. I just know. I wasn't saying that to the devil. Do you get the point? Whereas you're not talking to the devil, it's you. So why am I talking to you? Don't I know it? No, you don't. You need to tell your heart again and again. It's a whole crowned D. Who is the D here? Huh? Himself. You get the point? He's talking to himself. Who crowned D with devil kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfied thy mouth with good things? God satisfied me with good things. Be saying that to yourself. These are not things you say in your heart. I say, oh my soul, the Lord satisfies you with good things. Oh, my youth is renewed like the eagles. Ha! Just continue. The Lord is the righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He was talking to himself about the character of God. So this is a man teaching himself the character of God, talking to himself. Sometimes not enough to hear this from the pulpit. when you go back, start saying them. That's why I made some of those confessions. I recorded some of those confessions. You wake up every morning. Don't just listen to me say them. Be saying them. Talk to yourself. You are feeding yourself. Let's continue. Say, he made known his will to Moses, his action of Israel, verse 8. The Lord is merciful. Who is he talking to again? Himself. Gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. You know that sometimes you need to tell yourself this, that the Lord is gracious. When that thought of guilt has filled your heart, what if I don't just do well now? Just begin to say to yourself, my soul, remember, the Lord is gracious. He is plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10, he has not dealt with me after my sin. Tell yourself this, he has not rewarded me after my iniquities. Verse 11, he said, for the heavens is high above the earth. As heaven says, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Verse 12 now said, for as the east is far from the west. No, the amazing thing about this is that this guy was not teaching the Bible. He was talking to himself. So there are times you should know that how to win the raging battle in your heart is to address yourself. That's why you wake up with confessions. God is always good to me. He was looking to me. Continue. Because you can go on and on. He said, like as a father pitied his children, so the father pitied those that fear him. He said, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. For as for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. He says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. As 18, to such as keep his covenant, and those that remember his covenant to do them, the Lord had prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruled over the earth, over all. Bless the Lord, O his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. He said to Anna, said, bless you the Lord, all ye his hosts, you ministers of these ministers do his pleasure. Bless the Lord all his works. So he began to thank God. He said, bless the Lord all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So this was a man's personal letter to himself. Hallelujah. Sometimes don't need somebody to talk to you. If you are not dumb, you should never be down. You know what I said? If you have a tongue, you should never be down. If you're down in life and you have a tongue, oh come on. Do you realize that the times you say, I'm just so depressed, and you're lying down? You can just open your mouth, but I don't feel like talking. You are not your feeling. I've kept telling you, a human being, not a human feeling. That's how you feel. I don't feel like talking. It's okay, you are right. But your spirit man, your reborn man, wants to talk. Those things you've heard in church, those things you believe, notice in this chapter, the guy was just talking about what he believes. Whether sometimes we are right or wrong is his belief. So you that believe right, okay, speak right to yourself. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm righteous in Christ. I can never be down. I can never be defeated. You see, when you do not become deliberate about your speaking, you are allowing every other thing to talk to you. And you don't say, and what I'm talking to, your mind is speaking it. I'm not talking about physical talk. Some of them physically, some of them through your eyes, some of them through the environment. Where you don't become deliberate about what you say to yourself every day, everything is talking to you. Can't you remember? And some years ago, there were some things you believed with all your heart. But now when you remember those things again, it's like your heart is shaking. Something invaded your thoughts. Something invaded your mind. You were not conscious of it. Why men slept? Hallelujah. The enemy came in and sowed death. Sometimes you can just be so careless with your life, everything is entry. It's now when they begin manifesting and be like, when did I get to this point? Can't you see that sometimes when they now say the power of God is going to move and that surely is going to grow out, there is this sense thing that comes to your mind like, will it happen? When did you become that doubtful of the power of God? Some things were coming into your heart you didn't know. You are watching some videos. You are listening to some people. You are talking with some people. They were getting entrance. You are not talking to yourself. When you find yourself in this condition, take up a confession. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. I know God can do all things. I know he will do them by my hands. See people that your pastor lays hands on you, your life changes. Gradually, you are beginning to doubt God in men. Now, sorry, man, forget this man of God, you know, yeah. Who knows what he's doing? Where did your mind go to that point? You've been listening. And Nigeria, everything is talking to you. Do you get the point? Everything is talking to you. On Facebook, I say, man of God, forget that's what that. Reverend Father rapes a 6-year-old girl. This one, this, you know, you are listening. You are saying, to fear, to fear. Things are entering your heart. That's what I think you don't listen to. And there are things that when you listen to, you repel them by your words. It almost happened to me. I got to a point, maybe I'll just tell this story. I got to a point when, some of you know, when the prophetic ministry was pastorized in this town. It was a mess. Every small boy was a prophet. These guys were using small, stupid bars. They'll come out, they'll be doing roll call. And it was so annoying. So annoying. Some of them, we stage managed prophecies. And we knew, the meetings I participated, I was part of the planning. They stage managed these things. They will now say, well, somebody is trying to kill you now. Somebody is trying to kill you. He's the native doctor now. I'm trying to kill you. Put on your phone. He will call you now. And suddenly the phone will start ringing. And the person will call and say, we are in the native doctor's house now. We are trying to. I'm telling you. I'm sorry, sir. And the crusade went wild. Went wild. More money was flowing in. I saw the whole thing and I lost faith in prophetic ministry. I did. Now, I didn't know how far that was going to go. Because you know one thing, it's not just that I lost faith in people prophesying. I even lost faith in the gifts. I didn't know. Did you get the point? And then I was already beginning to test the power of God, the prophetic and all that, even giving people's description, some stuff. But then when I began to solve and I say, what it was, just once I entered a meeting, I just said, I somebody here, I'm walking out. I'm done with the meeting. But then God began to speak. I gradually began to see that when you allow that enter, you are shutting yourself off from that flow. You get the point? Not just that you not receive it from men, you cannot even do it yourself. And it will not stop with the prophetic, it will go over every other gift. Because there is no gift that is not being pastorized today. Get the point? People stage manage miracles. And I had to consciously begin to teach my soul. I got some books. I exposed myself to genuine New Testament prophets. I began to go into more of Brother Hagin's materials and all that and all that. I began to say to myself, you see, Henry, you do not doubt the power of God. You believe in the prophetic. And you do it. This is your thing. Because the reason there is fake is because there is real. If there were no real prophetic ministry, there will be no fake. And so begin to instruct your heart. So see how far you've gone in some areas and ask yourself, how did I even get there? You are careless with your thoughts. You are not repelling. You are not responding well. So the next time, that's a book I know I talk about. A.W. Tozer wrote a book. You know that book? It's I Talk Back to the Devil. That's the name of the book. So this is going to appear physical. Look, okay, let me close. Hallelujah. I think we've taken our time. It's going to appear physical to talk to you. How did Jesus... Okay, now I've explained to you. Jesus is temptation. This is the last. Amen? Jesus is temptation. I've explained to you that Jesus was not, it's not like Satan appeared to him and said, "Kim, I'm Jesus. I'm Satan, rather. You are Jesus. This bread, this stone, turn into bread." And Jesus said, "Satan, don't even go there. Man shall leave a bread alone." And he said, Bible said that Satan led Jesus to a high mountain. Imagine. Satan said, "Jesus, okay, let's go." Jesus said, "Let's go." Hello. The temptation of Jesus happened is that it's very easy to find out. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted as we are, right? As we were. So, have you ever seen Satan physically? So, how Jesus was tempted was exactly the same way you were tempted. Given in his mind. Simple thing. Oga finished fasting. He was hungry. And there was bread. He said, but you know that thought, you know you can actually use your power now to turn this stone to bread. It's a very simple thing. But the part I wanted to see was that Jesus did not stay in his mind and say, yeah. He said, man shall not. He replied with scriptures. I think what I'm saying. He replied with scriptures. The next thing, Satan led him. When the Bible says Satan led him to a high mountain, it wasn't like Satan took him and said, let's go to a high mountain. Everything happened in his mind. So, in a flash, in his thoughts, he saw the whole cities of the earth. He said, but no, you can have this. And he did not. My point is that they were coming as thoughts. He was replying with words. Then when he got tired of saying, Satan, get behind me. That was the prophet. Satan left him. So when those thoughts come, don't try to think the think. Say the say. Hallelujah. Reply with your words. You see, that's why next week I'm going to talk about something. Why you must fill your heart with the word of God. Because at the time, it is what you know that you will say. Let me get a point. Well, I'll close this teaching. Next Thursday, rather, is the last, right? One thing I'll touch is how to, you know, thoughts fly over your head. And how we can select what stays and what goes. I'm already dealing with it now. Your words is one. You get the point? Your words is one. So when Satan sends those thoughts, don't think it. Send it back. And don't just say it once and stop. Continue saying it. And I'm seeing by the Spirit that some of you, thank you, Father. One of the ways, I said this last week, but it's just coming again. One of the ways some of those thoughts entered your heart were dreams. You saw dreams in the night that sent thoughts, a thought pattern into your heart. That's why sometimes when you wake up from those such dreams, it's not about whether Satan wants to do it or not. Begin to say the opposite of it. And every time you see a dream, you see yourself in a level in life that you have passed. So if you see yourself in a level where you've passed, and sometimes a thought tells you it means you're going back. Does that happen to you? He said this to you when you wake up from such dreams, stand up. I said that it's no going back. The only way is forward. The only way is forward. I'm not going back again. I'm not going back there. The only way is you keep saying it. Because Satan sends thoughts. He can use anything. Jesus said, for out of the heart to proceed murder, fornication, adultery. He knows. So he tries to conquer the heart. We are going to win this battle of the mind. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Shina labarada kosia. We are going to pick, just briefly before we close, a particular line of thought that has been trying to get into your heart. And you are going to begin to see yourself like there is nobody in this room. I'm going to ask you to lift your voice and begin to repel Satan. Reply him. Reply him. Reply him.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.